Kara Oliver received her MDiv at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and she is a writer and editor at The Upper Room. She's the executive director of the Center for Spiritual Formation, so she oversees a lot of the programs of The Upper Room. She is our guest today as we talk about centering prayer. I'm Dale Clem. Welcome, Kara. We're so glad that you're with us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And you have been a youth director. You have been volunteers in mission missionary with the Board of Global Ministries in Africa. You have had so many experiences in prayer. I wonder if you would just share with us about yourself. What did you learn about prayer when you were in Africa?
So my husband and my two children and I got to live in Malawi, working with the United Methodist Church there for 2 years, from 2009 to 2011.
And what language did they speak there?
There are three main languages in the southern part of the country where we were. The language is Chichewa. Most people speak English.
That's helpful.
Yeah, we did our best to learn some Chichewa. Yes, I was just telling a friend the story today. My son was three when we moved there and refused to use any Chichewa words. And it was very frustrating and embarrassing at times. And then 2 years later, when we moved home, we got on the plane to fly back to America, and my son started singing Chichewa choruses from church.
That is great. That's great. Our family were missionaries in Eastern Europe and Lithuania. I knew a lot of words because I had gone through these classes forever, but my accent was so bad, Lithuanians couldn't understand me often. And so we would get in a taxi, and I would tell the taxi driver where to take us home with our address, and he looks at me confused, and our four-year-old daughter would just tell him when she had a great accent, and then he understood. So in a way, my four-year-old was my translator.
Right.
She'd hear my Lithuanian that was so bad, she could say it in a way that they could do it.
Yes.
You have a lot of interesting experiences when you're missionaries, and prayer was important to the Africans, right? Mm.
Yeah, I think what I learned, well, two things. I think one is the honesty that was in the prayers there, that prayers were not something to fill the worship time. They were not printed prayers that we were reading to one another. These were prayers holding God accountable for God's promises.
Wow.
So when people had sick family members, they called on God the healer. Said, "You promised to be a healer in my life. Heal my child or heal my husband."
When so there was more conviction than perhaps we pray in America.
Absolutely. So I really learned that. And then it was interesting to worship in a congregation where there were probably four or five different languages being spoken, to realize that my prayers were not for the people because they didn't understand my words.
Right.
The prayers were for God. So those are the two things that I've really carried with me about prayer from my time in Malawi.
And it just makes you appreciate how big God is. You know, we make God into this little someone that we control, really. Mm-hmm. And really, God is so more magnificent than we can even imagine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're talking about centering prayer today. What is centering prayer?
Well, we've just talked a lot about words, and centering prayer is actually wordless prayer. You don't have to make lists to God. You don't have to ask God for what you need. Centering prayer is a time to simply rest in the presence of God. And that is enough. That is enough. In the practice, many people do have a centering word. And that simply is to focus your attention. The practice is actually realizing when your mind has wandered and coming back. And that word helps you come back to the silence, back to God's presence.
So how long would you try to have this silence?
The traditionalists would say 20 minutes of silence.
And our listeners, if they're not familiar with this kind of silence, they say, "Oh, 20 minutes, that's a long time to be quiet." I know in my own life, when I first started trying to be silent, my mind was just going crazy. I had all these things to think about. What do you do with that monkey mind?
The first lesson, at least for me, was not to judge that.
You mean I'm not a bad person because I have an active mind?
Not at all. I'd say you're human. So I think that is the way we are created, with these very active minds, and especially in our culture with words and music and sound all around us all the time. That's how we're conditioned, is to be thinking. That's the value of our society. Centering prayer, like all prayer, is a practice. It's not something you get right the first time or the first month or even over a lifetime. Centering prayer is something that we practice over and over, and you might have a glimpse of what it means to have that absolute stillness in your mind.
We try to quiet ourselves. Tell us the process. Mm-hmm. How does that work in your life?
Mm-hmm. So for me, it's really important to find a comfortable way to sit, but in a way that you remain attentive. Many people, that's their feet flat on the ground and in a comfortable chair. I always like to have my legs cross-legged, whether I'm on the floor or in a seat. Finding that comfortable, attentive way to sit. And then I always start with 3 deep breaths, because that's how I notice where the tension is in my body.
Mm.
It's how I bring my mind into this present moment.
And it's important for the body to be involved in this prayer, isn't it?
Absolutely.
With our breath.
Absolutely. When I started leading this practice with some women at my church, I would start with a body scan. We would just start by noticing from the top of our head, if your jaw is clenched, if your tongue is heavy in your mouth, your shoulders. Now I'm just going to, you know, hopefully if you're listening, you can feel that. That to notice if you
can.
Take
us through it.
If you can lower your shoulders with the next exhale, even just another millimeter, feel the weight of your arms. Maybe your hands are in your laps. And are your fingers tense, like they're clasping a cell phone? Let those fingers relax. To feel the weight of your body held in the chair. Nothing to do, just to be held. And with every breath, just letting it wash over your body to feel the length of your legs, all the way down into the toes in your shoes. And even there, can you relax? So for me, it's those 3 deep breaths, and then that body scan has kind of become natural to me, to notice, oh, my stomach is so tight. Or my shoulders are still rounded from sitting at the computer all day. My counselor used to talk to me about the 11s, when you furrow your brow and there these 2 vertical lines show up right above your nose and between your eyes. So do I have 11s? And can I relax my face enough? But for me, that practice of bringing my body and mind and spirit into the same place has to happen first before I try centering prayer.
That's important. I know in my own spiritual practice, I used to run this trail in the woods, and then I would go to this concrete bench, and I had my app on my phone called Centering Prayer, and I would set that on, and I would sit on that concrete bench, and it would often be cold, and about 8 or 9 minutes into my quiet time, that bench was very uncomfortable. And I said, I've got to get a cushion. Mm. So finding a comfortable place is pretty important.
It really is. Yeah. I use that same app. Yeah. I use it for my personal practice, and I practice with a couple different groups during the week, and we use the Centering Prayer app.
That's great.
Yeah.
Father Keating was a great gift to us.
Indeed.
So we've quieted our minds and just trying to be quiet and silent, and we're listening for God. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And so then you ask God, what is a word that you can repeat in the silence? And I've read and met people who have the same word their entire life. That is the word that centers them. Typically 1 or 2 syllables. It might be a name for God that's meaningful to you. It might simply be peace. It could be yo-yo. Like the word is not important, but it's that something that comes from God and that can help center you. So once you've decided on that word, then you try to let that word be the only thing in your mind and just rest in God's presence. When I practice with this group of women every Thursday morning, we create this circle and we imagine all of the thoughts just falling into that circle, held. That God is holding all of those thoughts. We don't need them. For these 20 minutes, we can let all of those thoughts go. And then you can close centering prayer simply with a bell if you're using the app. It might simply be a bell. Or to close with a prayer, simply an amen to close the time. Yeah, would you like to hear about this? These group of women that I
absolutely
practiced with?
But before you say that, I've one of the reasons I like the app is when I don't have something else keeping time for me, I always worry about how long is it, how much time do I have left. Mm-hmm. With the app, I just am free, and mm-hmm. I'm able to surrender that time and don't have to worry about it. It takes that anxiety away.
Absolutely. And I think it's important practicing with a group to assure the group that you are watching the time. Because if they're not used to that, they're thinking, she forgot me. It's surely been 5 hours.
right.
When I started almost 3 years ago, a woman at my local church came to me and asked me if I would lead centering prayer during Lent. So we put out the word in our church. We decided it would be a women's group. We started meeting on Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. and we started with 5 minutes of silence. And even those 5 minutes, they were more like a guided meditation because silence was so foreign.
Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah, it's so difficult to rest in that silence. By the end of Lent, we were practicing probably about 15 to 18 minutes of silence, still with some guided prompts. Very simple from me, very simple, like, if your mind has wandered, come back to the present moment. Again, no judgment for that. That's just who we are and how we're created. But at the end of Lent, the women said, I don't think we're stopping. And now 2.5 years later, we still practice together every Thursday morning. And now we're in the more traditional, classic centering prayer model where we come together. I usually read a quote or a poem. During Advent, I'm going to read just scripture every week. And then we settle into 20 minutes of silence together. I'm watching the time, and I close this with a prayer. And often at the end of those 20 minutes, we're not ready to be done. Now that we have practiced for this long together, the silence is more comfortable than the chaos that we know we're about to walk into in the world.
It's such a gift to take time just to be quiet and listen and just be present to mm-hmm. the moment. We have such busy lives and so many sounds are coming at us all the time, and we think that we have to have sounds. Mm-hmm. And we walk in the door and things are going on with media. What a gift it is. I've heard that there's studies that say that centering prayer really helps us think better, helps us sleep better. Do you know about that kind of thing?
That's right. Neuroplasticity. There is science-based evidence that practicing centering prayer and meditation changes the way the synapses in our brain fire, that it can really change our brain chemistry and allow us to be more calm, less anxious. That fight, flight, or freeze reaction that is hardwired into our bodies can actually be mitigated if we are daily practicing silence and attentive to God's Spirit in our lives.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about centering prayer?
Well, I think just along the same vein, I would say that for me, it's taken 2.5 years to begin to hear God's voice in the silence so that I can hear God's voice in the busyness of life. But it took that practice of silence to recognize God's voice so that when I'm in the line at the grocery store or when I'm in a contentious meeting or when I'm parenting, even in those moments, it's now easier for me to hear and connect with God because I've practiced doing that without any distraction.
So it's helped you tune in to that voice mm-hmm. that you think, maybe this is God and not indigestion.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I bet it's even helped you in your parenting. Tell us a story about laundry and snakes. This is a great story.
Well, it was when my daughter was probably 2 or 3. We lived in this apartment complex. The laundry was out the front door and around the corner and down the steps and in the back of the building. So I had my daughter's little hand in one of my hands and laundry basket in the other. And as we walked down these steps, there was a snake on the step. And I thought, in that split second, I was like, this is an important parenting moment. And I said, Claire, look at the snake. God made snakes too. And it scurried away, of course. But really in that moment, I thought, I can choose to parent out of fear, or I can choose to parent out of wonder and joy. And I want to choose wonder and joy.
That's great.
That's
what a gift. What a gift to receive to have a snake come to you. I'm sure all of us would love to have such a gift.
I hope God comes to you in many different ways than snakes.
Yes. Okay, that's fair. That's great. Well, thank you so much, Kara, for joining us. And I know our listeners will want to go to the website and download the PDF file that talks about centering prayer. And we hope that you have a great week.
Thank you so much.